All right, welcome to Against All Odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with heel producer Jim Cunningham and my wizards of wagering, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, brother Brian, Darren, the parlay kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's shaking, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
You guys give picks, free. You don't charge anyone at extrapoints.com every single day since, I believe, July 27th. God bless you. You have some kind of crazy streak going here. And 2-1 on the day today. Parlay kid, you lost. It just hurts with the Pelicans. They were up by like 30. They take Ingram out,
yeah.
Right? That was your prop, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had my prop today was Ingram over 2.5 threes. As you know, mm-hmm. I've been very successful with my player props lately.
Like 6-1, right? 6 out of
yeah,
last
Yeah, and hitting
seven,
on
right?
a lot of like, you know, plus, 120s, 130s as of late. I went Ingram plus 146 over 2.5 threes. Had two with about 8 minutes left in the third. They pull away with 3 or 4 minutes left in the third. He came out. I knew he was never going back in because they were up by 40 at that time. So what can you do? It's one of those that my reasoning was right.
Tell you what you could do. You could do what Harry does. What did he do? He's counting it as a win. But what there's already some, even his fans, people who like him, there's enough people who don't like him on Twitter, but even the ones that do like him and support him are being like, this is an iffy one. What happened exactly?
Well, I guess I've had a couple discrepancies this week with the couple of days ago also with my Diamondbacks Reds game as well, going only 8 innings and whether it was a win or a loss. In terms of Vegas rules, I figure I know working there for 14 years, it was a winner, but Parlay Kid wants to dispute that as well. But
well,
tonight,
Harry, I backed you on that. Brother Bryce sent the FanDuel info, and FanDuel says you're a loser on that.
I can't tell the difference between
two. We go by FanDuel, so you're a loser on that.
It goes by the last full inning, right? What you got to explain, Harry? You're a communications major. Tell us what the hell's going on here.
Last full inning, if the home team didn't bat, and it was 4-3 Reds on Tuesday.
Oh, forget. All right, so what happened today?
Tonight, Thursday, I take the Celtics plus 7.5. I did my research, so we got to have this stuff up and everything. And the reason, mostly the reason why I like the Celtics plus 7.5 is that the Suns are on a killer 5-game road trip in which they're coming off a back-to-back. This was going to be a back-to-back after beating Philly last night. And 2 nights before that, they beat Milwaukee. So they still had 3 games left on the road.
Right, but you mentioned guys in your analysis that didn't play, right? Is that what the problem
is? I mentioned Brown, who didn't play, who's been lighting it up lately, but he didn't play. And they were saying that some of the Suns players weren't going to play. Every Suns player played. Celtics didn't, and Celtics still beat the Suns by double digits, mainly because of the reason that I said, which was the Suns would probably be tired.
Is that true, Parlay Kid? You think this guy has
no line? The line was correct. Harry did. I saw that last night. It was 7.5. They. Celtics had a lot of guys on their injury.
You guys think I'm really making up lines?
Yes, you have before. But
you got fired from Vegas.
Harry, you're banned from Vegas.
Yeah.
For doing things like this. I mean, so
he is Vegas the only member of the trifecta. If anyone asks you that trivia question, who is the only member of the degenerate trifecta who's banned from Vegas? It's Harry. So there's the answer.
I know. So come on. But I understand what Jason McAfee is saying about you. Here, he's basically saying you're taking the 7.5 points here on the basis of Brown playing. So you write up about Brown playing, but if Brown was playing, they wouldn't have been seven and a half points, something like that. Whatever it is, you did get it's the correct right. line though. He did have. I did see it for
Thank
like
you.
2 minutes.
Thank you.
It was,
Thank you, TPK.
You do this up, with Australian rugby, too, Harry. You can't be stopped. that is all
Just
right.
Just wait
so,
till later.
Hey, we have Matt Leinart coming on. I probably should have mentioned that at the top before all this nonsense about the Brown and the Celtics and everything. He's coming on. We're going to talk draft. Big draft coming up in 6 days. He obviously Heisman Trophy winner, Parlay Kid, 2006 draft, right? A 2004 Heisman Trophy winner, drafted in 2006. Lives right here in town, obviously, co-worker on Fox. He's going to join us. That's going to be fun. I'm trying to look at the scoreboard here. Parlay Kid. We have your Yankees, you and Brother Bri. The Yankees are over the Indians 6-3 in the ninth. What else? My Mets trail on the Cubs. That has been a disaster of a series. 3-2. Cubs only have two hits and three runs in the fifth. I bet a parlay that looks good in hockey. Usually tougher to win these the second time around. Boston's going to beat the Sabres, and the Pens are going to beat the Devils. That's nice. And that's about it. What else are we updating? I need 7.5 runs out of Red Sox Mariners. Not going to get it. I made the mistake of reading somewhere that the wind is blowing out at 20 miles an hour. Red Sox pitch out a no-hitter like in the fifth or some crap.
So. It's windy here. It is windy in the Northeast, Sal, but
it is, right?
Yeah, really.
Might be blowing in tonight in that that park.
I want to mention you may have seen on the Extra Points Pod Twitter handle that Against All Odds, the Degenerate Trifecta and I are going on tour. We are trying to get it together. We don't know that it's going to happen. It shouldn't have been sent out officially, but in the meantime, if you want tickets, reach out to our guy Max Shadler. He is trying to organize MJ Shadler, MJ Schadler. @gmail.com MJSCHADLER@gmail.com and we'll try to get we'll gauge interest. Hopefully if he's flooded with 2,000-5,000 emails, Max will sort it out and we'll go from there. But as I mentioned, the NFL draft in 6 days. Now I said this the other day. I love that you could bet on this, and yet it infuriates me that the lines move for no reason. And it really is no reason, right? Because if Fields was going 3 and then he wasn't going 3 and we had any good information indicate, we would have known, right? Glazer would have said something. Schefter would have said something. Instead, these bettors panic because, the first time they panicked is because Fields had a second pro day. And they're like, oh, he looks good. Yeah, of course he's going to look good. So then he became the favorite to go number 3 to the 49ers who traded up for that position. Then Fields announces this epilepsy thing. All right, it's, it definitely seems controllable, all that. He goes down. Now his over 3.5 is -260. We're going to look at the other quarterbacks, some of the other quarterbacks, with Lawrence and Wilson almost locked into the first two. Fields over 3.5, -260. Parlay Kid, how are we supposed to know who the 49ers traded up to get here?
We don't know, Sal. Nobody seems to know.
Yeah.
I'll talk about Lance in a second. So, but yeah, I think this, Fields, talk about a guy who's been bouncing around, right? 3, then all of a sudden a couple weeks ago, he falls out of that 3 spot. Then a couple days ago, he fell back into the 3 spot.
Yeah.
Now he's back out of the 3 spot. So basically what these experts are telling us is they don't know anything. They don't know anything more than the four of us sitting right here right now. Do I personally think Fields should go 3? I don't think he's going to go there. I think he's going to go over the 3. But in a little bit, I'm gonna throw something at you that I think could win money for everybody, depending on you think Mac Jones is going.
I'll start with you. Yeah, but it's all Mac Jones. Is he going 3? Is San Francisco?
Yeah.
Pulling all the way up to 3 to get Mac Jones. Was that their guy? Is that the guy they didn't want to miss out on? That's what we're going to find out. That's what we have no idea. Yeah, and you're right, Parlay Kid. It's like me saying, well, Nomadland was the best movie. But what the hell do I know how anyone in the Academy voted? It doesn't matter who I think is the best quarterback at 3. I'm not saying Nomadland was good. It was average. It was very average. So Mac Jones at 3. But I'll say this. I don't know, Bri, if there's a way to bet this. But I think if Jones doesn't go to San Francisco, I think he could drop all the way to the bottom half of that first round. I don't know if that he fits.
I agree. I mean, that's the thing. The over-under for him has been sitting right at 3.5. But you're right. I wish they did have some adjustable lines there, right? Where you get some good plus money, because I do agree with that. I mean, if he falls out of 3, I don't know who, probably somebody trades back into 10 or 12 maybe to get him, but I wouldn't be shocked.
Thing is, the way you can maybe draft it, it's not up here now, and we're going to have our draft special Tuesday. We're going to go through a lot of this stuff, but I think you could get by Tuesday, FanDuel will have odds up on which team will take Mac Jones, right? So you could probably get good odds on like the Lions or somebody like that, even the Patriots, who the hell knows if they trade up or something and get him. But I think that's the way to do it if you don't think Mac Jones is going to go three. Right now, you have to bet minus 170 for him to go three overall. But Parlay Kid, let's talk Trey Lance. I've liked this kid. I've said I think this is who San Francisco is trading up for. He kind of, you know, play action happy, does it with the great arm. And play action is how I think San Francisco was third in the league in play action yards in 2019 when Jimmy G had the big year and they went to the Super Bowl. He kind of fits the bill, but did they trade all the way up to get him? You say yes, or one of those other teams in the top six did.
Yeah, Sal, I've bounced back and forth about this. We, a couple weeks ago I said, Mac Jones is going three. There's just too many people that are saying it at minus 210. I am off that train now with Mac Jones. I just really don't think San Francisco traded what they traded to draft Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Trey Lance here, Sal. So let me give you something what I think. Well, one, let's just talk about Trey Lance. One, he's got all the size, the smarts, everything you want in a quarterback except the reps, right? Mm-hmm. So he's taken 371 reps in his college career. It's not a lot, and at a lower level. So, but having maybe Jimmy G there just for a year where, you know, they don't have to throw him right into the fire, mm-hmm. gives him a year to develop maybe, or a half a year to develop, which I could see happening. Now, but here, listen to this, Sal. If you don't think Mac Jones is going three, and you guys tell me, because this is something I just came up with on the fly. Could you take Fields under 3.5 at plus 205
mm-hmm.
and Lance here at to go three at plus 350 and you're coming out a winner? If you really don't think Jones,
if the favorite's out there,
if you say Jones is not, he's not going there, and you took Fields under 3.5 at plus 205 and Lance to go three at plus 350, you're coming out a winner, right?
So, Brian, do the math on that. Is that better than Jones over 3.5?
Well, Jones over 3.5, what is he right now? Over 3.5?
So over 3.5 for Jones. Actually, that might not even be up right now, right? Let's see. Jones for 3.5 is not, it's not up right now. But if, okay, so let's just figure it out.
But he's going to be plus money,
140.
Right?
Yeah, he'll be like plus 140, right? Because for him to be three is minus 170. So I think that's about where, I think you make money that way, Parlay Kid. I don't think anyone's trading to three. I don't think the Niners traded a three to get Pitts, right?
So not at this point, not after everything they did.
Right.
So I think that's not a bad idea. And that's how you can win some money.
But here's the thing. Why, other than, I'm always fascinated, who started the whole thing that Zach Wilson's going to the Jets? Like that's in our heads, right? Because that's what we've heard all along. Maybe it was you, Brian.
It was probably me. I've been saying it for like 9 months. What? So it's my fault.
It's a foregone conclusion. I mean, that's what Michael Irvin was telling us yesterday. It's like, I said, did the Niners trade up to three to get Jones? And he says they traded up to get one of three quarterbacks. That's what they did. He's like, if Wilson's there, they're taking him. I was like, wow, I hadn't thought of that because we're so locked into now. All right, Lawrence, Wilson, who's third? Go ahead, Harry. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, Sal, for years now, probably 3-4 years in a row, when the more and more odds come up when we do the NFL draft betting, there's always one. We've had for the, like I said, 3-4 years in a row, always three locks in the first like five picks that we nail cold. And we always try to pick a fourth, and there's always one that screws us all the time. Bosa's got us a couple years ago. Hmm. I don't remember who got us last year.
How about your Giants? Daniel Jones wasn't supposed to go anywhere close to that. Too. Six or eight? Yeah. I mean, was a huge one. That was a huge one. But Harry, what about Kellen Mond? Like, there was talk, honestly, like 2 weeks ago, was talk like he was going to be potentially a first rounder. This is someone that the Patriots could bite on or something. Mm. Now his over-under is 83.5. And last time I checked, there's not 83.5 teams in the first round, right? So that is, what is that? That's a third-round pick, like mid-third round?
Early third?
I think late.
Later third. Yeah.
All right. You like it over or under?
No, I like it under. I mean, I think Kellen Mond's a solid quarterback. I think he's very poised. when you see him play at Texas A&M, 71 touchdowns there in his career, had almost 10,000 passing yards, can beat you with his legs when needed as well. And honestly, I don't see the difference here when you have a Kellen Mond who's been who played 4 years there, a solid quarterback. Lance, and I'm not high on Fields. I'm not high on Lance. Look, Carson Wentz got drafted very early out of the same school, right? Look what happened to him. He's been awful. I don't have faith in Lance taking him that early. And I don't think Fields, even though you can't go against his toughness.
Fields is going before Mond.
I know, I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying I don't understand it. I don't think Fields is going to be that good. Well, I like Mond under because I think under I think Mond under 83.5 is a steal. Because he's just as good as Lance, or and prop maybe as good as Fields.
Well, that's Howard, you could throw out any college quarterback. Let me say this though, Darren.
Right. Listen, these Ohio State quarterbacks. Let's go over it. I mean, Cardale Jones a couple years ago drafted early, stunk. JT Barrett wasn't going to be an NFL quarterback, and Dwayne Haskins, 50 touchdowns for the Buckeyes. He sucks.
But I don't think it's fair because if you look at Joel Klatt came out with a stat the other day, he said as far as air yards, now that's a real stat, air yards, because you could say some of these guys just dump it off and let their receivers fly. Air yards, not only was Fields number one in Ohio State or the Big Ten, in the last 2 years, the 2 years that he played, number one out of all Power Five conference quarterbacks, number one. So
Big Ten sucked the last 2 years too.
I'd be shocked if Fields isn't very good.
Yeah. He'll be better. Here's the thing. While I said it was like there's guys like me and the Parlay Kid and Brother Bry who are like, it's got to be Lawrence first, got to be Zach Wilson second. We're now locked into that thinking. It's refreshing to see Harry come in and jump in. He hasn't been paying attention at all, and he could just say a Kellen Mond is going to go in the top 10. So that's
I didn't
nice
say
too.
That. I said he's as good as these guys and maybe better than Lance because Lance is unproven.
I don't all get right. that.
Carson Wentz has been good.
All right.
Every Philadelphia fan wants to kill the guy.
Whoa. I don't know about that.
Pretty close.
Here's the thing. You could rattle off these guys' stats, and Parley Kid, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of these pro teams will gravitate to guys with good stats from their senior or last year playing, right? Right. You almost have to have good stats as a college quarterback.
Absolutely, the bottom line is it doesn't tell the full story just for the fact that, you know, if you go by, say like, Hawaii's quarterback is probably putting up some pretty good stats, right? All the time. Doesn't mean they're getting drafted in the top 20.
Well, here's how it goes, Harry. I'm going to ask Brother Bry if Ian Book should go over under 211.5. And he doesn't have to tell me Ian Book's better than Trevor Lawrence to prove his point one way or another, if he's going to go under. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying. I'm just telling you the way I'm.
All right, Brian. Unless you want to, Brian. Unless that's how you want to approach.
Well, I think Ian Book is better than Kellen Mond. I'm going to go Ian Book over 211.5. Which is, I had to look this up because it's like the 27th pick in the sixth round, I think. So it's a little tricky because there are only so many seven-round mock drafts I can look at. Right? I'm looking at probably this afternoon. I was probably looking at some 13-year-old kid's draft board. Somewhere, but we obviously know this QB draft is great. We just talked about, you know, there's still guys like Mond, there's guys like Trask. There's probably like seven or eight guys even before Book. So look, he's a winner. Mm-hmm. I do like Book in that he's a winner. He moves well, but he's too small. He's lucky if he's 6 foot. And when you're 6 foot tall, you have to you have to be able to throw the ball really well. And I just don't think he does. I mean, again, you still have guys like Harry's boy, Sammy E, who could potentially, or Sammy Ellinger, who could potentially go over Book. So I think he falls to the seventh round or goes undrafted. Look, I asked all my friends who are Notre Dame fans. I asked all of them. I said what they thought. I asked them what they thought, and they all said undrafted. So I'm going to go over to 11.5. Although I'd be curious what our boy Eddie Spaghetti thinks.
Ask him yesterday? I think he did say he was going to get drafted. He said that number was about right and right in the middle of the sixth round. But he played little homer, I think, though. A little bit, tiny bit. All right. So over to 11.5. And this is something. What day is that? That'll be like Saturday or Sunday? Sixth round.
Saturday.
Saturday. Saturday.
Yeah. Saturday.
Right. Okay. And that's something you could bet after Thursday night anyway, right? They'll still have
That'll be one of the few things, right, that they still have odds up for. So
there you go. Very exciting. As I said, in a few minutes, Matt Leinart will join us and we'll talk more draft. But in the meantime, you could add a little excitement to your sports watching experience by betting all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. There's a reason FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Their app is simple to use. They've got great odds on different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same game parlays and exclusive always on promotions such as enhanced odds boosts on the biggest events to let you get more action out of every game day. And if you win, Harry, how quickly do they get you winnings?
Immediately.
No, 24 hours. And as little as 24 hours, it's close, but somewhere between immediately and 24 hours. That's it. Exactly. They see that's it. The ball goes in, they're dribbling out. Kyrie's dribbling out the clock. It goes to zero. It's like, all right, Harry, do you want your money now? I can get it to you right now. No, they have within 24 hours to do it. Fast withdrawals when you win. FanDuel pays your winnings. Like I said, 24 hours. Oh, live betting. So much fun. Easy to place your bet fast during a game if you see a trend you like. Especially fun in basketball. And Harry, tennis. Live betting in tennis. Mm. One of your favorites.
There you go.
Right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Place your first bet on anything. FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 if you don't win. No strings attached. You lose. You get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. If you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, what are you waiting for? Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started and be sure to sign up with promo code Against All Odds so they know we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Against All Odds. Let's hit the out-of-town scoreboard. All right, I need a couple more runs here for the Red Sox. 3-2. I need over 7.5. That's my adjusted. The Mets aren't scoring here. Although I'll tell you, Pete Alonso, and you're going to see him again. In the he's defending his crown. Did you see that? Did I make that up or did I see that?
He's going to be in the home run derby. Yeah, he said he's defending his crown in the home run derby.
Freaking monster home run yesterday. Good one today. Still on the short end. 3-2 in the
Great. After the home run derby hit like three the rest of the year.
That didn't kill him though last year. I think maybe the first couple weeks, but he got back.
Well, yeah, track. It's funny. I was going to say that, right? It was the first few weeks where it's like, oh, he couldn't hit for shit after that. And then he got back on track.
NBA, Denver at Golden State. Denver, this is a Friday night game. Well, so Curry, because this is all we could really talk about, right? With 4 weeks of meaningless basketball games left, you have to make a big deal out of the MVP. And Curry,
meaningless.
I know, but the Knicks, what are we rooting for? The Knicks have to end 5 and the Celtics have to end 4 or vice versa to get a good first round matchup, right? Otherwise, you guys Knicks are in by now, right? There's no question.
You got to be top. You got 6. I look at top 6 as you're in, right? So
yeah.
So right. They got to be top 6 and they go on a devastating West Coast trip in a week or so. So we're loving it. Brian, myself, Jerry Ferrara texting every night about the Knicks. It's awesome.
That's great.
We keep Harry out of it. We totally keep him out.
I'm out.
He doesn't like Harry. It's weird.
Jerry,
because Harry's just talking about Kellen Mond on these Knicks text chain. What the hell does Jerry want to hear that? But yeah, look, I'll say less. Why don't I rephrase it? They're less meaningful in that 10 teams make the playoffs for a minute, right? Until they eliminate two. Yep. So, okay, it's a little, the Knicks are making the playoffs. And by the way, remember we were staring at that for a while? Like they were like 2-3 games over 500. They were in sixth place and they were still like plus 280 to make the playoffs. And we didn't really pull the trigger on it. Now, Julius Randle, that's a different story. I want a full 20 minutes to brag about that. We don't have that right now. We gave that out 100-1. What was it? No, 66-1, 28-1, 11-1,
30-1.
And right now he's running away with that most improved player.
It's a lot. He's locked in. He's locked.
He's
in.
Got even if I now
even though I Grant even though Grant keeps lighting it up every night for Detroit.
Did you jinx him though, Paul? Like if he gets hurt now, that's what I don't know. He's -600.
No, he should easily win. It shouldn't be close. I mean, he's gonna get it. You know, he'll get some, potential MVP votes, I'm sure, too. So
right. All right, so let's talk about the Friday game. Jokic -380 to win the MVP, favored. Embiid +350, but no one's really even talking about Embiid anymore. It's either Jokic or Steph Curry, who's 18-1, didn't move down. What did he have? Did he have 14 last night?
Yeah, he was awful.
He was 2 for 14. Two of 14 from three.
And right. 7 for 25 overall, I think. I mean, that's what's going to happen with him, right? But still 18-1 odds. And maybe, as we think, potentially he was saving it up for this game. Do you guys have a thought on the game? We'll start with you, Brother Bri. Denver's -3 and 228 is the over-under. They travel to Oracle, right? And Golden State. Yeah. We think Curry's going to be about 35.5. We think Jokic will be about 30.5 for over-under. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I like the Warriors here +3. Look, Steph is 4-1 in his last 5 home games. They just beat Denver. I think it was a week and a half ago. They just beat Denver at home by 9. So now they're back at home again. Mm-hmm. This game just likely comes down to, you know, whether or not Steph gets hot, right? Does he hit 10 threes? Does he score 40 points?
And, right.
And it's crazy. I mean, that's the one thing about Golden State games is like you kind of know right away what kind of game you're in for, right? If Steph is hitting everything, you're like, if you bet against the Warriors and Steph starts hitting everything, you feel like an asshole. So I think he had a poor, I mean, the fact that he had such a poor shooting games last night, I think he bounces back here, has a big game, and they cover the 3. So, you know, the Nuggets, the last 2 games, you know, they had some two really close games. I think this is another one.
It is a scary, and Harry, you know, I had under 35.5 yesterday with Curry, and he had, I don't know, 10 heading into the 4. It's still scary. He could still get hot. The game could still go to overtime. That game against the Wizards was close. You're never really out of it. Like you never locked it until like, you know, a couple of minutes left. I'm seeing Embiid is talking about how he is the MVP, but that has not moved the odds at all. Interestingly enough. See, something like that doesn't move the odds, but nothing happens and Fields goes to a big underdog to go in the top 3. Harry, what do you think for this game? Do you have a feel for any of the props or the line or the total?
No, I'm with Brother Bri here. I like Golden State with the points here. Golden State 6-3 last 9 straight up. Steph, like we mentioned, Curry's been on fire, but he kind of took the night off, like we mentioned, in the loss on Wednesday night against Washington. I think this is a big game for Golden State here on a Friday night at home. Bri also mentioned they beat Denver on the 12th. Curry had 53 in that game. Denver also looking ahead on Saturday, gets an easy win against Houston. So I think the Warriors come back after that loss against the Wizards, and they cover and very possibly win the game against the Nuggets.
All right, Parlay Kid, is this kind of game that keeps the MVP discussion going, or does Jokic lock it up after Friday?
Well, I think it keeps it going. I think Curry, very rare for him to have back-to-back poor performances, so I think he rebounds tomorrow night, has a big game. I think Jokic will too, but I think Curry will keep himself in the discussion. I'll take the points with Golden State there tomorrow, getting the 3 points. Embiid, by the way, lost his 3rd straight game today.
Yeah.
Getting beat up pretty badly by Milwaukee. If anything, the Greek Freak probably might have jumped him today for MVP talk. So I think Embiid's out of it. I think this is a one-man race here with Jokic. But I think Curry's going to have some dynamite games down the stretch, right? And where he goes for 40, the buzz comes back. But Jokic is just going to be super consistent down the stretch. So let's ride with him. But tomorrow, Golden State +3. Curry rebounds in a big way.
I'm looking at this. Did Seth Curry? Oh, he did play. Okay. Because that's an interesting thing. Like they were talking about Seth Curry sitting. Actually, no one ended up sitting, right? He was supposed to maybe sit. And you would wonder if that was a fix, right? To try to get Steph back in the playoffs. I don't know, but it didn't matter. What do I know? I'll go Denver -3, and I think Jokic has a big game, and that will be that for the discussion. All right, our guest today, so much to say about him. A Heisman Trophy winner, Fox Sports college football analyst, returns to Big Noon kickoff Saturdays in the fall. What else can I say? He won top 5 most handsome correspondents on the Fox lot. Now, 3 years running. Wow.
Did I really?
Yes, you did. You didn't know this?
No, who's doing that poll? Who's doing that voting?
You know, I never asked, but I know it was me, you, Acho, Skip Bayless. I'm not sure. I'll get the. Those are the big 4.
No, Furman or Travis.
No, Travis. No, people don't like Travis. You wouldn't believe it.
You know, surprisingly, I like Clay.
I really do. I do too.
He's one of the few people in this world.
He's charming, and I hate that he's so charming and likable in real life. But hey, let me ask you this: so the draft is coming up in 6 days. Who do you hate more? Do you hate the guy who never played college football and tries to talk to you and analyze college football with you, or the guy who never played college football and tries to analyze the NFL draft with you? Which one of those people?
Oh man, that's a good question. probably the guy who just never played football in general. I mean, you see it, you see a lot of these guys, and you see all these analysts and pundits, and you know, they've been doing it a long time. So there is some information there. There is some knowledge there, but gosh, I mean, football is so much beyond measurables and just watching film and trying to see, okay, my eyes are telling me this. It's really about, you know, playing the game, the emotional side of the game, the mental part of the game, you know, how bad you want it, the work ethic, all of those things. So, you know, I think this is the point, Sal, in the draft process where it's just, I mean, I think everyone's just tired, right? It's like, geez, man, like what else can we talk about this kid? Like kids are sliding down draft boards for no reason. Kids are being, you know, elevated for no reason. Like, you know, it's just part. And I remember going through it. It's exhausting when you're that kid. You know, it's exciting. Obviously, you're going to get drafted and, you know, your life's going to change. But my God, there's so much going on. And you just have a lot of people out there who never played a damn snap of football trying to say, well, this is the right fit for this kid because I see this on tape. Well, dude, have you taken a snap from center? First of all, have you got hit by a dude before? Like, like give me a break. But you know, it's people's jobs, and you know, I like a lot of the guys. I listen to a lot of guys. I think a lot of guys have good things to say, but it's tough when they've never been on a field before.
No, I get it. I absolutely get it. Like when people probably talk about how handsome you have to be.
Probably like you. But I don't hear you breaking down the draft.
Played 3 years of high school. Is that good? And, you know, I started senior year. Okay.
A lot of blood, sweat, and tears there, dude.
All right. That's right. You got some football players, Jordan, you know, high school pedigree, but that's about it. But I want to take you back to your draft day, 2006. I was looking at some of the mock drafts from back there, and I actually remember this. People had you penciled in at number 3 with Tennessee, probably because of Norm Chow, and you know, he was with you at USC. Did you know on draft day that they weren't taking you, or were you like, holy shit, were you surprised when they passed you over?
So I got a couple of great draft day stories for you guys.
Let's hear.
So to that question, Norm Chow was the OC in Tennessee. Jeff Fisher was obviously the head coach, USC guy, great dude. Mm-hmm. Norm called me the night before the draft, and I knew the whole time. I worked out with him privately. I flew out there, you know, all those things. And Norm, he always to this day says, I literally stood on the table for you to draft you. Mm-hmm. And he called me the night before and said, we're taking Vince. You know, he said the owner wants Vince Young. I mean, that's literally what went down. I said, okay. So obviously after 3, I remember thinking, all right, it could be the Jets, because there was a lot of, you know, the Joe Namath and this and that. There was a lot. They worked me out. That was Schottenheimer. Mm-hmm. Mangini was the head coach. Tannenbaum, they flew out to L.A., privately worked me out. Had a great workout for them. Just a good couple days with those guys. So that was a possibility. But then after that, it was a crapshoot. It was a crapshoot. So obviously I ended up going 10 to Arizona, never interviewed with Arizona, never met with any of their coaches. I met with their quarterback coach at the combine when they'll do like the 15 to 20 minute interviews. And then they'll also do like, they'll bring every dude. I don't know if they still do it, but they'll have these like, you know, like a hall or something, these tables. And it's like speed dating. You just go table to table with coaches and you get like 5 minutes with a coach. Really? That was the only time I met with Arizona. So one other quick thing. I remember Oakland was at 7. They ended up taking Michael Huff. Davis. I met with the late, great Al Davis up in Oakland. Art Shell was the coach at the time. Mm-hmm. And Al Davis told me to my face in his office, he's like, gosh, if you're there at 7, I don't think we could pass you up. And sure enough, obviously they did. So I go to 10. Okay. So two quick story. So I went 10. Jay Cutler went 11.
Right, Denver.
Denver, apparently, this is what my agent told me, Buffalo picked 9, I think. Denver was trying to trade up with Buffalo to get to 9, trade ahead of Arizona to draft. They were going to take Jay or I guess, whoever was available. I think they were, the word was they were trying to trade with Buffalo at 9, and it was like a last second thing, like 30 seconds on the clock. And I think Buffalo backed out. They ended up taking Dante Whitner, the safety from Ohio State, I believe, at 9. So then I went 10, Jay went 11, so on and so forth. So, okay. So that was happening. I didn't know that was happening during the day. All right. So the cool story. So I just kind of, I just found this out the other day. So, Steve Clarkson, my old quarterback coach, you guys might have heard the name. He was in the draft with me, pretty heavily involved in my draft process. We were talking on the phone, and he's like, dude, do you know how close you were to going to New Orleans at 2? And I kind of knew they really liked me. They flew me out there, and they were – I think they just signed Drew – or yeah, that offseason they signed Drew, but Drew obviously had the shoulder issues, so they weren't sure what's going on. So apparently they were like ready to draft me, and they thought Reggie was going to go 1. If Reggie went 1, which Houston took Mario Williams, Reggie went 2, obviously. Reggie was going 1. They were drafting me at 2, the same.
Wow.
Which I didn't know. Yeah. Even with Drew, there, which would have been, you know, which would have been crazy. You know, it's just like, you always hear these stories. Remember, I think if Drew would have went to Miami or Saban, that whole thing, like how that would have shuffled the deck of all these careers and stuff. I always wonder, man, if I would have went to New Orleans and backed up Drew or something would have happened.
Yeah.
But that was really close as well. I just found that out like a couple of weeks ago that they were all in on me, I guess. And then like Drew passes physical or something. And then Reggie, obviously, who we all know how great he was,
right?
And a great Saint. So, but yeah, pretty funny, man. Just, it's crazy how these draft things work. You know, you just never know what's going on behind the scenes. And I, like, what, 15 years later, I just found out that the Saints were like seconds from taking me.
Isn't that crazy? You would think you knew everything there was to know about that draft. And 15 years from now, you might find out that Houston wanted you number one. Like, maybe there's nowhere to go above that, I don't think. But it's nuts that the stories are endless with this. Did it hurt you extra that Vince Young was taken third? It had to a little bit. They beat you in January. I lost a lot of money on that game. That freaking game, I hated. I parlayed it with whatever wild card favorite was that Saturday. And for God's sakes, it's the greatest game of all time. Are you sick of people telling you it's the greatest game of all time when you were on the losing end?
Oh man, you know, sadly, yeah, I've become so used to it, so numb to it, because it's like, I mean, we cover Texas at Fox, obviously the Big 12, so we always talk about that. Vince and I are boys, so, you know, it always comes up. But I got to be honest, it stung a little bit to not be picked, and I knew it wasn't Norm's fault, but, you know, you hear all of these things in these drafts, and you hear, well, we're going to take you, and we're, you know, there's no way we don't take you, and then all of a sudden you don't get picked, and then all of a sudden it's like, holy crap, like, how far am I going to fall down? Like, why am I here? Like, you just don't know. I mean, obviously I fell to 10, which, you know, was, you know, at the end of the day, it's 10th, and I'm very grateful to be picked by the Arizona at the time. But I feel like my feelings were probably hurt a little bit just because, like, damn, like, Vince just beat me. My own core. And, you know, the perception out there is, oh, wow, USC, Fisher and Chow don't want their quarterback. You know, they don't know that Norm was pounding the table for me the night before, and so was Fisher, but, you know, their hands were kind of tied. So it all works out. You know, obviously, you know, Arizona was ups and downs for me, but I learned a lot there. I went to a Super Bowl. We lost, but got to play in a Super Bowl. So, you know, it all works out for a reason.
Underrated Super Bowl. One of the great Super Bowls of
honestly,
all time.
One of the great, yeah, yes. Think about it. One of the great Super Bowls. I tell my son all the time, I'm like, dude, like, we were, I mean, the crazy from Ben to Santonio Holmes, that crazy pass from winning the Super Bowl. I mean, how, like, that's a game of centimeters, like literally centimeters. And
it might have had two of the top 7 Super Bowl plays of all time between the Holmes catch and James Harrison, the 101 yard return before the half, right?
That was crazy. Also, I mean, you remember Larry's touchdown where he split the safeties and it was, I'm actually getting goosebumps thinking about it, because I remember we're there right on the sideline, and it was just an under route. We knew the concept, And they ran a lot of cover two. And Troy Polamalu, who I love, was a teammate of mine at USC, was just always, he kind of did his own thing. That's how great he was. But he'd also be out of alignment a lot. And I don't know if he was out of alignment or whatever, but Larry took a 5-yard in route and literally, and Troy runs a 4.3, 4.4, and Larry's not known for his speed. I mean, Larry left them in the dust, man. Mm-hmm. And you see the highlight and you see him looking up at the Jumbotron behind him
right.
as he's running, which is freaking awesome, man. And I remember you probably remember Brian St. Pierre. Remember the name Brian St. Pierre? He was he was the other quarterback with me, and we were literally running down the sideline like two minutes left on the clock, and we're about to win the Super Bowl, and then we lose.
So crazy. Let me ask you this. Would you know if I said over under 5.5 players from your draft class that played in 2020, what would you say? Would you say over?
Oh, wow. From 2006.
Right.
Oh, I say under.
Under. Bri, what is it? It's over, right?
It is over. It's over at 6.
Let me see if I can name somebody.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Sure. These are guys that were drafted, though. There might have been some undrafted guys.
Right.
Give me a little hint right here. I feel like.
Well, we have a. There's
15 years.
There's a kicker in there.
Shit. I don't know any of the kickers that got drafted.
Byron, this is your Jeopardy audition. You're not doing very well.
There's actually three of these guys are drafted from the Bengals. I don't know from if that doesn't
from,
really
from
help.
The Bengals. Oh, Whitworth.
Yep, Whitworth is one.
For
yep.
sure, Whitworth. Great dude, by the way. Great dude. Holy, 15 years.
Damn. I know. It's crazy.
I couldn't even name another one.
Go ahead, yeah, Brian. Was one of them a linebacker?
No, you're wrong. Mm. So Jonathan Joseph, Mercedes Lewis.
Oh, Mercedes. I played with Jay Joe in Houston. I should have known that. I knew it. Mercedes, I should have known for sure. God, I can't believe he's still playing.
Yeah, so you have Whitworth that you said. Gostkowski was the kicker.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know we were in the same draft class.
Sam.
Dude's like one of the best kickers of all time.
Sam Koch, the punter. And D'Amato Pecco was as well. D tackle.
Yeah,
still
he's
playing.
Still around. Shit.
Yeah,
right.
Still playing.
Wow, that's crazy.
Crazy.
Mm. Matt, you obviously tight with Urban Meyer. Worked on Fox Big Noon Kickoff, and he's gone now. Did he tell you he was taking the Jacksonville job before it was announced, or you're not allowed to say?
Yeah. I mean, he called each one of us and told us. Mm-hmm. We kind of knew. It's Urban's funny, man, because like he would always, like, even in the first year, I always thought he'd eventually get back. You know, part of me was like, he loved TV. I don't know if you ever talked to him in the studio, but he loved, like, you talk to his family and you just like, and Urban's a pretty, like, he just tells you how it is. Like, he loved it and he loved the boys, and we had a great team and we had a lot of fun. And he liked kind of that life,
but
you could always tell. Yeah, you could always just tell he missed it because he's so damn competitive. And he would always just like, it was either me or Brady, just be like, "Hey, what do you think of, you know, the Browns? The Browns been talking to me. What do you think?" Like, this was 2 years ago, and Brady like, "Coach, hell no, you ain't going back into coaching to coach the Browns." You know, he's like, "What about what college?" Like, he was always fishing just for like. Whether he cared about our opinion, he was always fishing for just thoughts from us, like, "Hey, what's the NFL like?" or this or that. And then, obviously, before Jacksonville, we'd always be in these production meetings, and he'd write like on a napkin or something. He'd go like JAX ? And I'm like, I think I wrote like, "Yeah, you get your quarterback or something," you know, whatever. But that was just like. For me, he'd done that like 10 times in 2 years. So I'm just like,
right,
shit, maybe he's thinking about it, you know? So obviously we were hearing the rumors were all over the television. And at this time we already knew he was taking it, but he called each one of us and, you know, he's great, man. I really, once you kind of peel back those layers, like he's a great dude. He's extremely loyal, extremely competitive. I think he's going to be great, to be honest with you. I think he's going to win there, to be honest. I don't know if that means Super Bowls, but he's going to turn them around.
He's a winner. Yeah, sure.
He's a winner. I think he gets it. Like, he's not, you know, we told him, I said, "Coach, like, you know, coaching these players is different than coaching 18, 20 year old kids. You know, like mm-hmm. these are grown men. Like these are guys making $20-30 million a year. They don't, you know, they need a guy just to kind of right the ship. They don't need a right. drill sergeant. They don't need these types of guys. And that's kind of what he was known for. And he was like, you know, like I'm going to, but he's a great leader. That's the thing. Like his leadership ability and his philosophy, it reminds me a lot of Pete Carroll, but just different personalities. But the way, like you could listen to Pete Carroll's talk for hours in a classroom just because he's so gifted and he's such a great leader in that sense. Urban's the same way, just with a different personality. So I think he'll command that locker room. They'll respect him. And, you know, as long as I know he's got some guys on the staff, but as long as he can put a good staff together, which I think he believes he has, you know, they're going to do pretty well.
Did you call Pete Carroll? You mentioned Pete Carroll. When Urban left, did you call him and say, hey, listen, coach, you don't need all this drama going on in Seattle. Come do TV with me and Reggie. You'll get paid. You put makeup on. We'll be on television. You think he would go for something like that? Or is he just coach until it's all over?
I think, you know, I know just, and I could be wrong, but I know through people that I think at some point he's going to be a professor at USC. I think that's his end goal.
Oh, wow.
End goal after coaching. I think Pete's the type of guy, as long as he's healthy and he's, you know, his person, you know, all of those things, his personality is never going to change. That's always been the same. But I think as long as he's healthy and that grind and all of that mental grind and, you know, he's got to keep winning, obviously, but he'll do that for another couple of years. And then from what I hear, I think, you know, he wants to teach kind of that a leadership or philosophy type of class at USC, which I think he would be great at. Yeah, that's what I hear. You know, I don't know if that's true, but I heard from some people around campus that, you know, that he's been talking to people about that at some point.
Yeah, so, he should wait till he's like 80 or 85 for that, right?
Coach, you're not getting any younger there, you know. But
little known fact though that Pete Carroll's son played baseball for our dad.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. The Ciccoli brothers, they've from Long Island, Harborfield High School, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When he was coaching at the Jets, yeah. Yeah. I played against his son when in high school. Yeah, it's fun.
That's cool. Brennan.
That's right.
But yeah, he's at U of A now.
Yep.
Is he? Yeah. There you go. Oh man, yeah. I wish your coach, you're close with Urban Meyer, but it's Trevor Lawrence is such a prohibitive favorite to go number one betting wise. Because I'm always looking through the lens of gambling. You can't make any money.
Don't bet on that.
You can't win any money. For some reason, and maybe a good reason, Zach Wilson is locked into number two for the Jets. Who do you think San Francisco traded up to get at three, or was it just did they have three guys in mind and say, all right, I'm going to take the best out of Lawrence, Wilson, and either Fields or Jones or Lance?
I mean, it's obviously you bet the farm to get the three. They're taking a quarterback. We know that. I mean, this isn't smoke and mirrors. Mm-hmm. Look, I think I love all these guys. I know the least amount about Trey Lance. I think as we all do, just the least mm-hmm. amount of tape. Watched a couple games on him, but I love Fields. He's my second, you know, and one, maybe I'm biased. I studied him. I watched him the last couple of years, but like, I don't understand. And I feel like it's always one every year. I don't understand the, you know, all the criticism with him sliding and this or that. And I talked to some coaches at Ohio State and everyone's baffled, you know, and maybe it's to get one of these teams to draft them a little later. Obviously we know what the game is like, the draft, but he's my second. You know, Wilson's my third guy and Mac Jones is my fourth. All that being said, from what I hear, and again, I hate saying from my sources, but from people that know Shanahan really well, mm-hmm. It's Mac Jones. I mean, that's all I hear. And I trust the person that told me that. And it's certainly, look at Mac Jones. You could say what you want. Like, the dude had a great year. It reminded me of what Burrow did last year, or a couple years ago. I think Burrow's a better athlete, you know, moves around a little better, but both had elite talent around them in college. And both are just, you put on the games, you're like, dude, like the accuracy, the on-time running and being coached by Sarkisian, who I know is just is a wonderful, wonderful, incredible quarterback coach and offensive mind. So that kid will be farther along than probably Justin Fields and some of these guys, as far as just QB acumen, his knowledge of that position. But, Look, Shanahan's offense is unbelievable. I played in it under Gary Kubiak in Houston. He is the perfect fit for that. I know we say that a lot. I personally think they should take Justin Fields because fit is great, but now you have a guy that can take you over the top with his ability to run and his arm strength and all of those things. I mean, we've heard the debate for months now between these two. Mm-hmm. But all signs from what I hear, it's Mac Jones at three, which listen, good for him, man. Like I love that kid. I got a chance to interview him this year and I talked to Sark about him multiple times. And he said, this kid is like one of the most competitive kids he's been around. Like he battled it out at Alabama, never transferred. You know, heard he wasn't good enough. Bryce Young, who's an old modern day recruit, was the number one recruit in America last year. Everyone thought he'd come in and kind of take the job. Mac Jones said, no way. You know, he came out there, he balled. I mean, you hear what did Devontae Smith say, like Mac or Tua? He said Mac without a question. Hmm. So like this kid is good, man. He can play. And his film is as impressive as anybody in this draft. It's just you better be sure if you're San Francisco, you're John Lynch. I mean, you're betting the farm to take this quarterback. He better be your guy for the next 10, 12 years.
Yeah, and that's – so I'm curious where you scrutinize players more or in these specific players. So here are the biases, right? Fields' bias is the sliding and that Ohio State quarterbacks have not fared that well the last three in the NFL, right? Probably unfair. Mac Jones, the bias is, well, everyone who takes snaps for Alabama is going to be good. Look at Tua. Many people, maybe not Devontae Smith, think that Tua is vastly more talented and he struggled a middling freshman year in the NFL. Is Mac Jones scrutinized the wrong way or is Trey Lance scrutinized? Maybe he gets too much credit for playing against inferior talent, right?
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's the one for me with Trey. That's not a knock on him because that kid, I mean, he just oozes talent potential, but you play and I hate because, you know, Carson Wentz, I still think he's a pretty good quarterback and obviously mm-hmm. he had some really good years. But you know, with such a limited amount of games and, you know, and then some of the games you're like, man, like the accuracy's all over the place. And he only threw 318, you know, attempts in college. So like, trust me, I know I didn't have a great career in the NFL. I know how hard it is. And I played at the top school at the time, you know, against mm-hmm. pretty damn good competition. So that one for me, I think, the one that bothers me, and it's obviously one that I would use for myself as well, you know, gosh, look at Liner back in the day. Even though I'm so old now, no one even talks about the draft. But, like, I had elite talent around me, and then you get to the NFL, and it's, well, everyone's good. You know, can you make guys better around you? You know, I would look at, you know, some of the guys in college. You know, Baker Mayfield had elite talent around him. I think he's been pretty damn good. He had a good year this year, obviously. I think he's – kind of shucked away a lot of that criticism from him. So I think with Mac Jones, look, you go to Alabama, you're going to an elite team. You're going to have elite players. You know, I don't care. I trust what I see. I trust there's a lot more there. You know, I look at, you know, okay, the intangibles, right? You look at, first of all, you look at, okay, accuracy, decision-making, does the ball get on time? Does he throw guys open instead of waiting until they get open? Does, You know, how does he move around in the pocket? Can he stand in the pocket and take hits? What does he do against the blitz? I mean, look, Alabama was great, but he still faced all of those things. And he's just like, he's a machine. He was a lot like Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was a machine in that offense.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, a lot of the NFL, we saw it with Sam Darnold in New York. Like Sam's a good player. I think he's going to ball in Carolina. I really do. You go to a bad place, you go to bad coaching, man, you're going to get washed up real quick. Mm-hmm. The thing about the Ohio State criticism to me, I think, is completely like BS. If he's getting compared to, okay, JT Barrett, there's no comparison. JT Barrett was not going to be an NFL quarterback. As much as we all loved him in college, he was not an NFL player. I think everybody knew that. Cardell Jones played three games and balled, but like, you know,
right.
I mean, that was a small sample size. You know, right. I don't even think he went first round. Mm-hmm. Dwayne Haskins obviously is the one. And I remember Urban telling me when he came out, he said he spoke highly of him, but he said, this dude has only played 13 games. Like he's never been hit. And he had that great year. He's never been hit. And, mm-hmm. and Ohio State's offenses are pretty damn special with a lot of talent too. So like Justin Fields has played 2 years. He's had some bad games. He's been hit a lot. He's had some damn near great games. You look at what he's done in the playoffs. Look what he did against Clemson. Against a really good defense. I mean, he was unbelievable. Played with what? I think cracked ribs or bruised ribs. Justin Fields is way different than the last three or four quarterbacks at Ohio State. I think that to me is complete bogus. He is more talented than any of those quarterbacks in a long time.
Well, and you know, the flip side, the obvious flip side to, oh, Mac Jones has, you know, the crazy ballers around him, and same with Justin Fields. They're also playing a higher level defense, right? That, you know, you got Wisconsin in three degree weather is going to play defense different than the Trey Lance, who Lance is going up against. And obviously the SEC, you know, you're probably going to see six first rounders on defense from the
SEC. You're facing, you know, week in and week out, you're going to have two or three corners go in the first round. Mm-hmm. You're going to see all the D linemen that they get. Those guys go, you know, those are just men over there in the South, all the linebackers. And so you're facing, like you said, you're facing, I don't care if it's, you know, Kentucky or, you know, LSU was pretty bad last year, but those are NFL players, and you are absolutely torching them, like torch him. And the same argument, I swear, I love Joe Burrow. I think he is freaking awesome. And he showed last year in Cincinnati, obviously cut short, but how good he could be. Like Joe Burrow is the same thing. Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Marshall, all these guys, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a great offense line, Joe Brady. And I don't think any of us really picked him apart as far as having elite talent around him. Maybe it's because he was a better athlete and he moved around better than Mac Jones. But if you can play the position, you go to Shanahan and you go to that offense, you're gonna be successful. Like Mac Jones, if he goes to that offense, he'll be successful. Now, is he that much better than Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, you know, they're gonna probably bet the house that he is. I mean, if that's what they're taking. So, right. but look, this is a really, I mean, those five guys are really talented and really different in a lot of ways. It's gonna be exciting to see kind of where they all go.
Definitely. I want to talk to you. I could talk to you for hours, but I gotta let you go. But USC, because I had Scalabrine on and I talked to Jeff Schwartz a lot, and those are, Pac-12 contemporaries of yours. When UCLA was doing well, USC obviously played well in the NCAA tournament. UCLA went further, went to the Final Four. Were you rooting for UCLA to advance?
You know what?
Oh, no. I don't like this already.
So, first of all, I knew we were going to get our ass kicked by Gonzaga.
I just
knew it.
Really?
Like, and we did. It's not like I'm not going out on a ledge saying that. I just, like, I watched a lot. I love USC hoops. I love college basketball. So I watched a lot of USC this year. And I know Coach Enfield pretty well. And so I'm always rooting for them. And I just didn't think we were going to beat them. Now, I didn't think UCLA was going to make that run as well. But I was rooting for the Pac-12 at that point.
It's crazy.
And I gotta be honest with you. I had a lot of money on UCLA. If they would have won that game, I played in like a Calcutta league, actually, with a lot of Manhattan Beach guys.
Oh, what? Where's my call for that?
By the way, you're in next year. It was awesome. So, there was 12 teams, and I never played in this. I played like the tourney every year with some guys, but one of my Cole's friend's dad's like, hey, you want to be my partner? And it was like, you know, obviously can go on for an hour talking about how it worked, but it was like, got up to like $16,000-$18,000 or something. And if you pick enough teams to advance further, that's when you start, the money rounds are like Sweet 16 and further along. Mm-hmm. So it was an auction league. So we bought UCLA Michigan State as a playing game. We bought it for like $30.
Right.
But we had Illinois who choked. We had like six teams. Like we ended up with like a certain amount of money. We bought six teams. So we were all in on Illinois. We paid big for them, lost. So we had UCLA. UCLA saved us. So to be honest with you,
wow.
If they would, yeah, they saved us. So we ended up almost breaking even, which was like, obviously if UCLA just loses in the Sweet 16, like we're down probably a couple $1,000. So that's why
you need the money. I understand. Times are tough. But when did this switch? Because I need to, everyone I ask is rooting for their conference. I would not think that was the answer. But when, obviously, when you were at USC, when you attended, you were not rooting for UCLA in any capacity, right? So was it right after you graduated, a couple years after, that you loosened up on that? Or
listen, I'm probably, I'm, by the way, I'm married to a Bruin. Okay. So my wife
is right.
UCLA. Yeah. So I get it. I was a diehard UCLA football. I was a diehard UCLA football basketball fan growing up. So obviously the UCLA, you know, Tyus Edney in 94, Toby Bailey, like I could name like that whole team. Like I watched UCLA, George Zedek, you know, all of those guys. So I was a big UCLA basketball fan, and my Cedric Bozeman was my teammate at Modern Day. I played basketball. He went to UCLA. So I was always rooting for UCLA. And then the Cade McNown era, like I just like, that's when UCLA was rolling. So I loved UCLA growing up. I went there on an unofficial visit with Bob Toledo was a coach. And I was just like, God, this place sucks. You know, like it just, it was a feeling for me. It was just a personality feeling for me, the team. I just like, and then USC actually committed under Paul Hackett, which they were terrible, but it was just a different feeling. So anyway, the point is I like, I never really, and this is going to sound bad, but like we always beat the crap out of UCLA. They weren't very good. Like, you know, they had good players and buddies of mine, but like we just, it was never really a rivalry for us when I was there, even when Carson was a quarterback.
I get it.
So I never really I hated Aaron Rodgers and Cal, hated them because they beat it, but they were so caught. I hated them. I hated Notre Dame. Like, I think I hate Notre Dame more than I ever hated UCLA. And maybe
some people say that's a bigger rivalry, USC Notre Dame.
It's a way bigger rivalry.
Really?
It's a USC Notre Dame to me is one of the best. You know, it's different than Michigan, Ohio State. It's different than the Southern ones. But like that's a big rivalry, man. Like you think about the tradition of those two schools, all the national championships, the Heisman's, all that. So like I got to be honest, I've never really hated UCLA. Like, I don't like UCLA, but I've never hated them. And it's so funny, man. My wife's some of her best friends, like, they'll text me during, like, USC, like, games. Like they're sweating. Oh, my God, I hate you guys. I'm like, dude, guys, chill, dude. Like, I don't care. Like, I really don't. But, yeah, so I was rooting for UCLA for reasons I told you before, so.
I want to thank you because you have you worked with my son's on the JV here in town for MiraCosta.
I see the hat, man. I love
yes,
that.
Yes. He plays both ways, defensive end and guard. And they went 4-1 in a shortened season, but you worked with the quarterback, Will Daugherty, 18 touchdowns, 2 picks. Good job by you. He's going to be all right, right?
Great kid. You know, so he, I didn't get a chance to make it to any game because the first three I was out of town was bombed. And then I know with COVID and all that, and just my son's playing, you know, travel basketball every weekend. So it was hard.
He's
a year younger, right?
He's
a year younger. So, he's in eighth grade right now, but I'm getting updates from Will's, you know, parents and stuff. And like, I started training him probably, what is he, 16? So probably like 10, 11. He was 11 years old.
Yeah.
Just at the parks at Costa. And man, I'll tell you what, he's a great kid, works his ass off, loves it. And I told his mom, I was like, I think he can play college football. I really do. MiraCosta, you know, obviously, you know, with there's not a lot of guys going to college from MiraCosta.
Right.
It's just not a football school. But the size, as you know, he's a big, big kid, has a great arm, and he wants to play so bad.
Right.
So it's really been fun to watch him. Like he sends me his highlights and stuff and texts me he's like one of my kids, man. Like I've known that kid since he was little. So.
And you told his mom, you told his mom, like, hey, we have to get him into UCLA. That's my favorite school, right?
by the way, his mom went to USC, so she's more of a Trojan than I am. That's for sure.
Now, I want to ask you. You're very outspoken about on Twitter. Why don't you want the kids to go back to school?
Why don't I? Or
oh, did I read that wrong? Maybe I'm reading these wrong. You do or you don't want.
Dude, I love this stuff, man. Like, obviously, listen, COVID, I mean, in all seriousness, COVID is not something to joke around about. I get that. But like at this point, you know, my older son just went back to school at the middle school. And like, the first week it was like an hour for 2 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's 3 hours a day, every day, you know, Monday to Friday. And the reason why it just bothers me, and I think I speak for a lot of people, is just like my nephew and niece are in Florida. And they're one's in high school, one's in seventh grade, and they've been back for a year, like
right. Oh,
and they've had, maybe you could count the cases on one hand. And we know Florida, had, you know, I don't know the exact numbers, but Florida had a lot of cases. So
nah,
like,
was careful.
I just, you know, I think it's just at some point, you know, it's, we just got to look at numbers and we got to look at all of those things, and not to sound so political and all that stuff.
No, it's I didn't want
at some point, man, like, dude, our kids are suffering, dude, like bad, like, we don't think about the mental health of these kids. I know a lot of kids who are dealing with issues, man. Like I know a lot of the parents, we have these conversations on group chats and you just feel like these people don't care. I think that's the big gripe with the parents is like, they're just not doing anything to help our children when that's what they're, you know, like that's what their job is to do, is to help our kids get them back into school and all that stuff. So
yeah,
I think we're on the backside of it, obviously, but it's been a bummer, man.
Can I tell you a quick story? My wife, who was very also, but these kids have to go back. They have to go back. She did everything short of carrying a picket sign up and down Manhattan Beach Boulevard. And then they decide they're going to send the kids back. But the kids at first had an option if they can go back. And my kid said, I'm not going back. He and his friends decided, and there was screaming. I was like, you guys sort this out. And he's like, Dad, I roll out of bed. I put the Zoom on. If there's a quiz, I could look down at my notes. Like, what? He's like, come on. He's like, you. And then I have to pretend to be outraged. But eventually, now everyone's back. But it is weird that when given the decision, even after a year, some of the kids are like, nah, I like being in my pajamas for first four periods.
I talk about like the amount, and I'm sure, I don't know, maybe this was your wife's role, but like, I, you know, the amount of policing that I did with my older boy,
the first,
when we didn't know what was going on, we're like, dude, what's going on? Like the amount of policing and like, you got to do this, make sure you got to do this. You got to do like, it was stressful. I mean, I actually ended up getting, Cole, like a tutoring service where he just goes to a place and he does his Zooms there with someone else watching him, because I couldn't handle it in the house anymore. Like I was going to like rip my hair out. He, unlike your son, he's dying to get back in school,
because
he just misses, like, I think he wants to get out of the house and he just misses his boys.
You know, I think so, that, like, was the thing. My kid was seeing whoever they wanted to see anyway, so it was like whatever. But no, it's, I'm glad everyone's back, and yeah, it's been some run. It really has. But you're right. We're on the backside of it, and it's looking good. What do you got? So what are you doing now? You could just hang out until the fall, or you got stuff going on?
Dude, my wife and I have a 1-year-old. So
right,
he's fun and a handful. And we're my wife's. I always say we're due, but my wife's due in a month. Like, we're having another baby.
Oh, nice.
Month.
Good for you.
Congratulations. So, congrats.
Thank you. Yes.
Congrats.
Thanks, man. Thanks, guys. So yeah, it's, and then obviously my eighth grader. So, having another boy, so I have three boys, the eighth grader sells, you know, I'm driving around sports all the time, which is a blast, but you know, you're just always moving around. The 1-year old is getting to that. He's fine. He's running around. And then now another newborn. So, but we are picking up a little bit with college football stuff, soon. We have a couple days coming up, big game. Bob's coming out, Bob Stoops, who I love. He's coming out. We're doing, you know, some of our marketing stuff and getting the band together to, golf a little bit. That comes up. And then actually, like, media days, and it's almost back to normal. So like, we'll have media days and all that. So, you know, a handful of days here and there throughout the next couple months. And then, you know, mid July, we start doing our Zoom shows as we started last year. We're going to start doing those every week. So, enjoying the family right now. And obviously in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we're going to have our hands full with another baby. So,
well, excellent. Congratulations to you.
Thanks, buddy.
I will send you a gift, and thanks for spending so much time with us. And yes, get me in that damn Calcutta pool next year, for crying out loud.
I got you, man. Hey, we got to get dinner, man. We got
to
catch up.
Let's do it. Me, you, Stone. We'll go to Taco-licious. Let's get it on the books. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. I'll see you guys.
Matt Leinart, one of the most handsome men on the Fox Pod. There you go. All right. Well, that was fun. He's good.
Awesome.
We learned a lot there, Harry. You learned that Sam Darnold's going to be good. Yeah, I noticed you didn't speak up a lot there.
He says Fields is going to be good.
I didn't want to jump in there because he was on such a roll, but man, he was bashing everything Harry said about quarterbacks between today.
Yeah,
and
really Sam Darnold. Yeah,
and he was bashing people who never played football before too. So sorry, Harry.
It depends what football we're talking about. Harry did score a goal in his first touch in football. Not American.
I had one
football,
pick in high school, Brian. I had a pick in high school.
Wait, now you played football too?
What's that?
Or is that you played football too, or is that like two?
What are you talking about?
Like I played soccer sophomore year. I played football freshman year.
You did.
We need videos.
What is all this? No.
Pick versus Henniger High School.
No.
Not true. Henniger ran the ball every time. They never threw.
They beat us by 60, but I had a pick.
I love Leinart. All right, you guys want to give your best bets, and I'll pick one of them, and I'll jump on with you. We call this Sharp Tank. How'd we do in the beginning of the week? I can't even remember.
I had the Brewers right.
Brewers, yes. Burns, right?
Yeah, that's what you jumped. Yeah, he's been really phenomenal, good. Right? 40 strikeouts, no walks, right? Crazy.
Good Lord, he's good. Harry, you had a loser. You had Fox over 29.5, and he made like three shots or something, right?
Yeah, and then he had 30 the next night against the same team.
There you go. And Paulie Kidd, do you
didn't
remember?
I give it up for the second game?
Oh, you had that big hockey parlay.
Three-team hockey parlay. Toronto screwed won you. The first two, came down to the last game. Toronto was up 3-2. Little into the third, they ended up losing 5-3. So it was no dice there. But
all right. Start us off, Parlay Kid. Give us a winner for the rest of the year. I know there's a good UFC card. I don't know if you guys
right after coming out of retirement with my UFC picks. I lost my first couple out of retirement. But I had Vittori to win by points a couple of weeks ago as a Sharp Tank pick. It was plus 190. That was a winner. Last week had Whitaker by points at plus 135. So I'm going back to the points here with Usman over Masvidal at minus 120. You're not getting the plus in front of it. But this fight went the distance the last time out when Masvidal was on fighting on 6 days' notice last July. I believe it was last July. And I think this time with a little bit more training, it will help him go the distance, but he's not going to beat Usman. Usman will take this to the mat. He'll beat him on his feet as well. But Masvidal, I think in his last three losses, just not counting some of his wins, his last three losses have gone the distance. And he normally goes the distance. It's very tough to put him out. So Usman to win by points, minus 120.
The Askren win isn't looking as good. As good anymore for Masvidal, right? I'm trying to look at Masvidal and Jake Paul common opponents, and they have like three or four. No. All right, so you have Usman by decision.
Yeah.
Brother Brian, you have Shevchenko, right? Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, I'm going to take... I mean, I love some of these fights. You know, I really love the Rose-Namajunas-Jang fight. It's going to be phenomenal. I do like Rose in that one, too. It's a pretty decent underdog. I do love her, but, you know... I'm just going to sit back and root for her, I think. But yeah, I like Shevchenko by KO here over Jessica Andrade. Like, I'll get, you know, Andrade is always fighting the top fighters, but Valentina is just going to be way too much for her. Like, I don't really throw the tuition lock out there, you know, like the Parlay Kid, but I'd be shocked if she didn't win this one. I like KO though, because Andrade is super aggressive, always coming forward. I think she'll walk into something like she did when she fought Jang and got knocked out in the first round. So she's going to take a lot of punishment here. I'm sure Valentina is not too happy with her last fight going the distance against Jennifer Maia. So I think she takes her out. I like it at plus 200.
All right. All right. So, man, because, you know, I have to make a big bet on Fox Bet Live.
Sal, Usman, Shevchenko, so that's what I was... Canelo.
Well, Sal, that's what... Well, Canelo's the following week, but that's...
I got it. It all has to play out this weekend. Usman and Shevchenko is minus 178. So I'm looking for something.
That's pretty nice, Sal. That's pretty darn nice, right?
Really?
There.
Yeah. All right. I do love that. I mean,
all right, Harry, ruin this with a terrible NASCAR pick. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, if you guys love that, you'll love this. Listen, for months and years now, actually, Sal, you've read out messages from emails from people from Australia, New Zealand, who love our stuff, love our show. And I really don't love anything the rest of the week here. So for those people here, I'm going to give out a pick on Sunday morning, which starts at 4:15 Eastern in the Australian Rugby League. Give me the New Zealand Warriors plus 16.5 over the Melbourne Storm. The last six matches for the New Zealand Warriors, 3-3 straight up, lost only one of those six by more than 17. Give me the Warriors of New Zealand plus the 16.5. Good day, mate.
Wow.
Joel, and Sal, you just got your over in the Seattle-Boston game.
I saw I got lucky. I got a grand slam in the 10th. It's so stupid. Joel, what the hell is that from Harry? What are we going to do with that? I mean, how can I buy that bet?
What do you mean? We've moved on from Chinese basketball. It is Australia national rugby season. I would go with Harry.
Really? We do love Australia. We do love them.
Hey, reach out. Yes, I haven't given out the email address in a while. CousinSalAgainstAllOdds@gmail.com. CousinSalAgainstAllOdds@gmail.com. Yes, we do have people from Australia that love us. Write in if you have complaints about Harry or anything. We only really want to hear your complaints. New Zealand Warriors. All right. And that's
16
Sunday.
16.5, Sal.
Right. That's interesting. And
Harry, how do they keep scoring rugby?
He doesn't know.
I can't get into it right
now. He didn't play. This isn't one of the this isn't one of the sports you're going to tell us in 4 weeks that you played in like ninth grade or something, Harry? No.
No, remember in college, Sal, we couldn't stand all the rugby guys, right? They're all
Yeah, I guess we could say that now, right? We're not going to see them every weekend. Yeah. And there's no speed rule. No speed rule in rugby that you're going to get burned on here?
I hope not.
Paulie kid, I'm going with you. Usman by decision, minus 120 over Masvidal. That's a nice one.
Yep.
He does have more time to train. I forgot about that with Masvidal. He took that on a few days rest. But Usman is the better fighter. I know I'm going to get slammed. I'm going to put some dumb thing with those two. I'm going to go Usman, Shevchenko, and some like Crystal Palace plus 2.5 or some bullshit.
Do it. There's got to be some soccer game. Yeah, it's got to be some soccer game Saturday that
We have futures bets, our futures pool. And some of those are still alive, right? Is the semifinals this week? They're like midweek or something?
I have Chelsea in the Champions League. I think I have them at like 11-1. I think we took them too, Sal, in the other one? Other one, we took Chelsea, right? Did we? Or do we only take them in the parlay? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I might have taken it in the parlay.
Although I will say in that other one, it's almost impossible to win because that other guy had $100 on Randall at 30-1, I think.
He did, right?
Yeah.
That ain't gonna help. Let me look at this real quick. We have Chelsea, Brian, Champions League winner. There's someone else. Harry, you have Bayern Munich. You're not even gonna mention that.
Do I have Man U?
Are they still in Manchester it? I don't even United? Know. Are they?
Oh, Harry.
I think
on.
I have Manchester United. They're still this.
And the parlay kid has Man City.
Oh,
come on, guys, Man learn City. Your teams here. I would love to have a team left.
Is that who I'm on? Man City.
And Toby but Barcelona's out. So, he doesn't have it. Right.
Following Australian and New Zealand sports now.
And that's all right. Well, that's probably good. But, all right. So, there are three left. I think the semifinals are midweek, Brian.
Okay. Yeah. They start mid next week.
All right. There you go. Now, Jim, you have someone too.
Do I?
Jim, do you even know this? Yeah. Dortmund to win the Champions League.
Oh, but they're done.
And are so they out? Done. Oh, I thought it said. It doesn't.
And so is Harry. Harry's out too, right? With
All right. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm not reading the. No, I forgot to scroll all the way.
Across. Yeah,
all the way.
It's. Yeah. All it's right.
There you go. What do you guys got going on, Harry?
Just got my second COVID shot today. Feeling pretty good. Hopefully, I'll be fine tomorrow. Just gonna do a little relaxing. Maybe a little exercising, a little more exercising
Stop
this weekend.
Whoa.
Listen, the running in the pool is starting again.
Harry, which vaccine did you get?
The Medizer.
The
Moderna.
You got the MacGyver?
Oh my God.
Harry got the MacGyver. Wow. Are you mixing them? Are you doing like a cocktail?
That's why I feel like this whole podcast.
Give me the mix. What is it?
Mix it up.
Well, Harry, you know, it's not like an Arnold Palmer. You can't, it's not like lemonade and ice cream. You got to really, you got to get one. You got to commit to
Moderna
one.
Moderna done and then the second time.
That would be great if you saw his card and the first time was Moderna, the second time was Pfizer or something like that.
Harry lost the first card, had to get a new card today.
That's not important. He's losing the cards. He's getting these. He forgot what the MacGyver.
Oh, my
the
God.
MacGyver. Right.
Parley Kid, what do you got going on?
I know. I don't know if anybody else has noticed Harry like sniffling, coughing the whole show.
Listen, not sniffling, coughing.
It's look at this guy. Oh
look at they're thinking of discontinuing the Medizer because there's been a lot of weird side effects for people.
Let's see. We wrap the boys wrap up their football season this weekend. Like kind of like you abbreviated season. They're 4-1. They're kind of playing like they had to forfeit their last game because of COVID reasons. Yeah. And so now they're just kind of playing a game to play a game. But that will be it. And then they'll start lacrosse season. And, you know, that's kind of in the same boat here. Mm-hmm. So
have Leinart work out with the quarterback.
That would be great if he boy, oh boy, that sounds good. Unfortunately, so it sounds like your quarterback's leaving Miracosta by the end of this year. I think he's going to end up at De La Salle or somewhere. So congratulations to him.
There you go. Will Daugherty gone. Thanks for your time.
Hey, good for Will Daugherty. Got a lot of publicity today. So good for that kid. Yeah. 18-2. I don't care what league you're in. Those are great stats.
It's a nice season. So. He goes through his progressions, like actually, you know, not just locked into one receiver. He really, really does a nice.
Yeah, spreads it around. That sounds like he sounds like he's a good kid. And
yeah,
I hope he does very well. It's sounds like he's got a future. But it's awesome. That's awesome.
That's good. All right, Brother Bri, what do you got?
Brother Bri, my daughter's got some lacrosse soccer this weekend. No basketball for me, but yeah, the FCS champion FCS playoffs start too this weekend. So it's going to be some. It's weird having football on.
That's what I got to do. That's my third leg of the parlay. That's it. Like Montana,
Like Delaware's like 15. Delaware's an 18.5 point favorite against Sacred Heart. Sacred Heart is not winning first game.
That's what I'm doing right there. Hey, Parlay Kid, Romo's birthday, Tony Romo's birthday, Wednesday. Harry, an eagle at Corn Ferry today for Romo.
Really?
What can't this guy do?
Let me take a look here. I didn't even know.
I'm not lying. Why would I make that up? I don't care.
No, I believe you. I want to see where he wound up, though. Where did he wind up?
I don't think it was great, but eagle's pretty good, right?
Eagle.
My goodness.
There you go.
He had an eagle in the last event that he was in before, too, right?
Just crushes every sport. Every sport. Joel Solomon, what do you got going? You're all MacGyvered up?
Jim and I, we're going to get our MacGyvers tomorrow.
You got a tandem MacGyver gate?
You have to pull a wire and you get the paper clip and you have 30 seconds to inject the MacGyver.
By the way, Romo won from last.
All right. Well, good thing you got the Eagle.
Plus six.
Well, maybe he needs to be vaccinated, Harry. I don't know what's going on. You've said some dumb shit on this show, but that's great.
No, that was good.
That's right up there. And Jim Cunningham, the eyes are ones, right?
Yes, sir. At Jim Cunningham, and the eyes are ones.
Now, Jim, when you complain that Harry sends his videos to you sideways and diagonally and shit, like that makes sense to you when he calls the, you know, it's only in the news all the time, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pfizer, Moderna.
Hey, Sal, I will say this. Sal, Romo today on par fives. 4 under.
Okay. All right.
Pretty good.
He's not a professional golfer, Harry. I went out there. I kicked Bonetta's ass today, probably by 9 strokes.
Oh, Scott, nice.
Scotty Holmes Ooh. Won. Scotty Holmes won today. Oh, she was all over the place.
Revenge.
And kept like stopped keeping score. It was really it was disgusting. So there you go.
Nice.
Hidden Valley ranched her out of Rancho Park right there. So we will be back next week. Tuesday, we're gonna do our full-on draft. Who knows what these numbers will look like? Maybe they'll be tighter. Maybe everything will be like a -600 and you can't bet it, but we'll be there for you against all odds on Tuesday. And then Friday, we're going to recap, right? Friday morning, we'll recap the Thursday night draft. We'll see if it affected any team odds. And also there'll be over-unders for, you know, and odds for the draft, the second through seventh round. So we'll have that for you on Friday. What else, Jim? Lemon Pepper Parlays out there. Betting Academy. So many podcasts. Minus Three out there with Damashek. Card Wars. Check it out. You got Piacenti. You got Ferrara. You got Martin Weiss. Did Martin Weiss win today? He had gone like six in a row without winning.
Oh, shit.
Who did he have? I can't remember. Harry, you were rooting him on.
Yeah, I can't remember.
See, Harry, you don't even care anyone about yourself. Do you have Dallas Lakers or something? Didn't he have that? Oh, Boston? No, that was you. All right, we'll figure it out. Good luck to you, Martin. Yes, and that'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds for the Degenerate Trifecta, Joel Solomon and Jim Cunningham. I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping.
You guys think I'm really making a point?
Yes, of course.
You have before.
He sucked!